T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Kevin Mosley is a former Pennsylvania state trooper. He was also in the courtroom for a couple days during the testimony. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Lynn.
So I'm curious. You went to the trial a couple days last week. Was that out of curiosity because you are? I mean, what took you there? What led you there?
I'm working on a book, Pushing Back Against False Narratives on Race and Ethnicity. So I wanted to be there. Given that this is in our community, I wanted to actually hear what everyone had to say before I actually made up my mind. And being in the courtroom made a huge difference because I got to see what the evidence that was presented. I got to see the exhibits that were put on by the prosecution as well as the defense, and actually hear the eyewitnesses to the incident.
So give me an idea. Were you surprised at the verdict? Based on what you heard in the courtroom, were you surprised by the verdict?
You know, they had four options. Well, they had five. Fifth was being not guilty. But they had first degree, third degree, voluntary, involuntary. After I walked out of there on Friday, after closing arguments, I was talking to someone. I thought, at the very least, involuntary manslaughter. I didn't expect the verdict to come back until probably Sunday, maybe late Saturday. But when they came back 3.5 hours later, I realized right before they even announced it that it was going to be not guilty, which was sad, that they only gave his life 3.5 hours worth of their time.
So one of the divides in our community, in addition to there are some divides along the race lines, but not completely. There are some divides along the race lines. So two things come up. There were three African Americans on the jury, and many observers thought that that would have had more of an impact than it did. Did that surprise you?
No, I mean, what happens is we all live in this same soup in terms of how we perceive and African-Americans, and we are far too often criminalized, particularly African-American males. So just because you are black doesn't mean that you can't see African-Americans as a threat. So them agreeing with the other, coming to the same conclusion as the other jurors in the jury, it doesn't surprise me.
I think the other point, well, two other points that I think that people are discussing a lot in the community is this whole idea of what that means. A police officer felt that he was threatened, and many people feel as if that gives folks carte blanche.
It doesn't. Not at all. So when I look at these situations, I look at it from a perspective of I am African American, I was a Pennsylvania State Trooper, and I was also a use of force firearms instructor. So particularly, I'm applying, okay, what training did you have that you should have applied to the situation that you found yourself in? Particularly when Rosfeld stopped the car, he had a choice on where to stop them. He stopped them right in front of the community center, where he had to have known it was full of people because he was just there when he was sworn in an hour or so before that. That didn't bother me so much. What really bothered me was him approaching the vehicle by himself, knowing that he's got three individuals in that vehicle. You're not trained to do that. When you conduct, if he thought it was a felony stop, which I'm sure he did, then you wait for backup. There are a number of other officers that are on their way to assist him. You wait till you get at least four officers there. Then you get those individuals out. You have the driver. In the meantime, you would have had the driver throw his keys out the car, turn the car off, throw his keys out. Everybody put their hands out the window where they could be seen. You cover them. When those other officers get there, you start to give commands. You get them out one at a time, driver first, have them back up to you, kneel on the ground, hands. One officer goes up, cuffs that person, brings them back. And then you continue until you clear the car. Then you can start to conduct your investigation as to what happened.
Kevin, I stop you for just a minute? I've got to take a break. I had a couple more questions I would like to ask you. Can you hold on for a few minutes? Kevin, I want to ask you another question, and that is, We've seen the protests. I know students are planning on marching today downtown. The realities are the verdict in this case is in. It's over. We can't go back and change that. Do we need to look at changing state laws or federal laws as they pertain to police-involved shootings?
You know, if all you're going to say is I feared for my life and that's all the jury has to believe, yeah, that's a leap for prosecutors to get over. And you know, so sitting there on Wednesday and listening to the witnesses, particularly the second witness who was two houses away, he was the closest one. It really, I wondered what was the jury thinking when you were deliberating, when you heard him say that he simply saw Antoine raise his hands in the air as if to surrender and then run. He never saw Antoine lunge toward the officer. He never saw him point at the officer. He never gave him any indication that he had a weapon. This was, you know, other than Rothfeld, he had the best view of what happened. So, and then he also stated afterwards that during his testimony, he said that Rothfeld stated that, I don't know why I fired, I don't know why I shot. That makes me wonder why the jury did not give more time to deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of do we need to change laws? I think we're going to have to. We're going to have to look at this and say, you know, you have to be able to articulate more so than I feared for my life as to why did you shoot a 17-year-old in the back as he was running away from you.
Here's one of the things that I think a lot of people find troubling when that's the bar. I feared for my life is the bar. And a lot of society doesn't want to deal with the reality that when they see young men of color, they automatically become fearful.
Yeah, sadly. And this there's a whole history of not having been taught our own history. So I'm not just talking black history, I'm just talking American history in terms of how have we dealt with race? We haven't. And you need to start in the school systems and say, what are you doing in terms of talking about from enslavement forward? What are you doing? Are you talking about Jim Crow? Are you talking about the civil rights movement? Are you talking about criminalization of black bodies? And do you not understand that most black people are law-abiding citizens? But because of, as I said before, because we all breathe the same air,
mm-hmm.
you know, we, and that air being polluted, we all take that in. So it's easy for a lot of people to believe that black people are criminals, sadly.
Kevin Mosley, retired state trooper. You're working on a book. How soon do we expect this book will be available?
Well, I'm hoping by fall. By fall, it will be out. So
okay.
We'll see. We'll see, Lynn. Thank you.
All right. And do we have a name for it yet?
Denial is the Way of Whiteness.
Denial is a Way of Whiteness?
Yes, Denial is the Way of Whiteness.
Wow, awesome. We'll have to get you back on when the book is out. Kevin Mosley, thanks so much for joining us today, hanging in there with us today, and sharing your perspectives.
Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it.
All right, have
Take
a good
care.
Day. You know, it's interesting to hear from a former law enforcement agent, and especially a former law enforcement agent of color. Whether you like it or not, race was a factor in this trial. On both sides, race was a factor. And again, until we begin to deal with the real issues of race and its implications, we're going to find ourselves on one side or the other for years to come. We are coming up in the next half an hour. We're going to take a look at post-traumatic stress as it affects our teenagers and not just...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.